Welcome to another broadcast of Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails in to dj@artistfirst.com. All past shows can be downloaded free and on demand at the Artist First website. Now let's take an honest look at college football in America today. Here's your hosts, Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Welcome, everybody, to a wrap-up of Week 4 in college football. You know, got to say as we kick off the show, Dad, that, you know, I love pro football on Sundays, but there's just an urgency in college football each week. It's almost like the playoffs begin for that coveted race to number one, and it almost seems like each week we can count some teams out, whereas in the NFL you have a chance to bounce back, but every game as we progress through this season is going to pick it up a little bit more, especially with that pressure of being a top five team. What do you think?
Well, of course, you know, as you know, and the fans know by now, this is the most exciting year, season in sports for me, and I'm a little surprised this weekend that AP moved Oklahoma to number two and LSU to number one. However, right. Exciting weekend, surprisingly, Oklahoma State down by 17 at halftime to Texas A&M and bounce back and win 30-29. Of course, if you have a quarterback that throws for 438 yards, it's going to be difficult to lose. And then, of course, the upset of the day, number 21, Clemson beats Florida State, number 11, 35-30. And by the way, Florida State was the only team in the top 20 to lose.
Good point. Yeah, I think as you look at some of the things, at least that I noticed, you know, sort of the top five or six teams, maybe eight, are beginning to sort of distance themselves, and there's some reasons why some teams did well, and I think there's some evidence as to what it takes, and if you don't have it, you can't win. And here's some examples. I know you mentioned that earlier. You know, Oklahoma, which I still think personally should be number one, they were down 14-3, and they rip off 21 unanswered points to kind of take command of that game. And I think maybe it's just because they were at home that maybe they fell. LSU, again, as you mentioned, played well on the road, sort of put some things to rest as far as, you know, what they have or don't have. And then, of course, Alabama with their great running game, you know, Trent Richardson steps up and they're successful. Boise State keeps rolling. You know what a lot of people think with Boise State? They're all offensive-minded, and Kellen Moore can throw it all over, which he does, but their defense accounted for four turnovers, which is really, really spectacular for them. Again, you got to be a defensive team to be a championship team. As you mentioned, Oklahoma State is, again, on the road. They're down 17-3, 17 points at halftime. They rally. And then, of course, sort of on the other end of the spectrum, team that was sort of crawling back into the top 20, top 25, the good graces of the media and the fans even, and I was one that mentioned them last week, USC, they get absolutely thumped at Arizona State. It wasn't so much that they lost, but it was how they lost and how convincing they lost.
You made a good point. You know, last year we talked about it. Everybody looks at Boise State's offense, but they forget what a powerful defense they have. You made a good point. They're an outstanding defensive team.
Right. And I think, as I mentioned, you know, all of those teams that are successful, that continue to be successful, have what it takes. You know, you look at all the elements that we talk about week after week, a good defense, the ability to win on the road, the ability to come back, the ability to play not your best game but win, like some of these teams do. And then we also, you know, like I said, there's reasons that some teams aren't playing as well and, don't fare as well and fall out. And those are teams that are either rebuilding or just what we'll call pretenders later on in the show. You have any other points as far as the top 25?
No, not really. Not at this point in time.
Well, you know, this is, even as I mentioned, things get a little more heated this time of year. I know we've had a few conference games sprinkled in, but now what we're going to be looking at here is the conference games will all be underway starting next week, and it's a really, really exciting time. Everything gets more pressurized each week on the road, whether you're in the Big 12, the ACC, the Big East, the Big 10. You know, you just have those rivalries sprinkled in because of realignment. We have some new things. So what we're going to do now is take a look at our conference predictions, who we think is going to rise to the top as the long season takes its toll on some of these teams. I think some teams that are sort of in the middle of the pack now are going to rise and move up to the top. Some are going to fall on their way, and I think some teams that are leading right now may fall. So let's begin. Dad, go ahead with your Big Ten prediction.
Well, you know, we mentioned last week that when Penn State came into the Big Ten, everyone expected them to dominate. Well, Nebraska, welcome to the Big Ten. You know, after four easy ones, they start out with Wisconsin. Michigan is my surprise in the Big Ten. Ohio State is my big disappointment in the Big Ten. We'll discuss Wisconsin and Nebraska later in the show. But for the time being, that's my analysis of the Big Ten at this point in time.
All right, now, but I'm going to put you on the spot, I guess. If you had to pick a conference champ right now, winning that first inaugural Big Ten championship in Indianapolis, who's it going to be?
Wisconsin.
All right. I agree with you. I'm going to pick Wisconsin over Nebraska in that game. I'll leave my prediction for this week's game to later in the show, but I agree with you. I think Wisconsin's powerful. Again, they have what it takes. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They can play defense. Their schedule, they have a few games that may test them, but I think overall they're well coached. Coach Bielema has been there a while. I think Wisconsin wins the Big Ten. How about the ACC?
Well, Florida State won't lose another game till they meet Florida on November 26th, and, you know, that game would be a toss-up. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing about the ACC is that Florida State doesn't play Virginia Tech. Clemson plays Virginia Tech this week. It's mm-hmm. a great cross-division, and it comes too early. I don't like to see that, and I really think the winner of that game is going to win the conference.
Uh-huh. It's funny that you say that because I think, and predictions can go out the window, we can change our mind, but I have the same feeling with the ACC as I do with the Big Ten. I think the ACC championship game is going to be a rematch of this week's game, and I think Virginia Tech beats Clemson to win the ACC, but I kind of like your call about Florida State. You know, Florida State, which starts out 0-1 in the conference, but they can certainly make a run, but we'll see how it plays out. Now, how about the Pac-12? What do you look for in that conference?
Well, it's very simple. On November 12th, Oregon, which is ranked number 9 now, versus Stanford, which is ranked number 6. Without a doubt, the winner of that game will win the conference.
Okay. Well, I agree that somebody's going to come out of that game. I happen to pick Oregon. I think they're going to stay strong. I think they had that early loss first week to LSU. I think they're going to continue to get better. We'll talk about, you know, some of the things that we see from them as things progress. But I think on the other side of that, which everybody's, you know, seeing that the Pac-12 now is into two different conferences, the North and the South. I think out of the South, even though USC stumbled this week, I think they continue to play well. And I pick Oregon over USC in the inaugural Pac-12 championship. How about the SEC, which some people call the strongest conference in America? What do you see with that one?
Well, how could it not be the strongest conference in America? LSU, Alabama, and Florida and South Carolina are in the top 15 this week. Mm-hmm. November 5th, LSU is at Alabama. On November 12th, South Carolina is at Florida. My pick for the conference champion is Alabama. I think Alabama should be the number one team in the country, as a matter of fact.
Good prediction, and I'm going to go with you on that one. I think Alabama comes out of the West. I think that's going to be a dogfight with Auburn, LSU, even Arkansas, even though they lost. I think they may sneak up. What a dogfight that's going to be. But I think clearly in the East, I think South Carolina, with their good running game, is going to continue to move up, get better. I think they're going to stay right there. So I have Alabama over South Carolina. How about the Big 12?
Big 12, there's no doubt about the Big 12, sports fans. The conference winner will be decided December 3rd. Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. Now, at the beginning of the year, just like last year, everybody thought Oklahoma was much better than Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, fans, is a tough, tough football team. So I don't know who's going to win that game. You know, you have injuries, you have weather. A lot of things could happen. But if things stay the same, December 3rd, the winner of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State will win the Big 12.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, but I think it's going to be Oklahoma. You know, the thing that if I was an Oklahoma fan that I'd worry about is it just seems like throughout the years past, they sort of have a tendency to maybe stumble a little bit. And now that the non-conference games are out of the way, you sort of wonder. You know, you sort of wonder what's going to happen playing that Oklahoma State game. You know, looking forward to that. You know, and you even wonder about, you know, is a Baylor team that sort of quiet and 3-0 gonna stay there and played well, and Kansas State, who had a big win this week. You know, so you wonder about that. But I agree with you. I think it's going to come down to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. How about the Big East? What do you look for in that conference?
Well, the Big East, unfortunate for them, has no one in the top 15 at this time. South Florida is 4-0, and they're ranked 16th. West Virginia, 3-1, ranked 22nd. Mm-hmm. West Virginia is at South Florida on December 1st. South Florida plays Miami. You don't know how good Miami's going to be this year. That's one of my unknowns. West Virginia does not play Miami. However, I believe the conference winner will be South Florida.
Wow. Good pick. Good pick. I mean, they're off to a great start. I think it's going to be Cincinnati. I watched them a little bit the other day. They play well. They throw the ball well. That, again, you know, you sort of look at some of the intangibles of what a team needs to be a champion. You know, you look at Zach Collaros. He throws the ball everywhere. They seem to play good defense. You know, you sort of wondered about Cincinnati when, had lost their coach to Notre Dame. But now they seem to really have, you know, proven that they got some kids there that can play. So I certainly like Cincinnati. I know Syracuse is sort of hanging around. West Virginia's a little disappointment. So, and so is Pitt. So, you know, again, you mentioned earlier, you know, you have some teams that are strong and some other teams that are disappointments. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else that struck you as you went through sort of wondering about these different standings or conferences?
No, not really. I thought that my only disappointment is I don't see how they replaced Oklahoma's number one, and I don't see how LSU or Oklahoma is one and two. My favorite SEC West is Alabama, 4-0 and strong, and great, great Heisman candidate.
Well, let's look a little bit. We got a couple minutes for our first break. Let's sort of go down and look at sort of some of the highlights of the top 25. As I mentioned, Oklahoma was a 38-28 winner over Missouri. They scored 21 unanswered points in the second and third quarters. And interestingly enough, Oklahoma has won 38 straight home games and 8 straight games, which is the second longest. And they certainly are proving, again, to be number one. LSU was a winner at West Virginia. We mentioned that. They had a 99-yard kickoff return to end the third quarter. West Virginia made a little bit of a run. But, in, again, I kind of thought that going into that game that LSU would take control, and I thought West Virginia was a little bit overrated. Alabama, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, they, you know, they talk about the SEC being a, you know, top conference in the country, and it's no surprise. In the top 15, they have four teams. Mm-hmm. They have LSU and Alabama in the West, and they have South Carolina and Florida in the East, and they're followed by the Big 12 that has three teams in the top 15. Oklahoma State is number five. 14 is Texas A&M, and Baylor, as you mentioned, that's really, really impressive this year. They're ranked number 15. So they're a couple good conference. And, you know, you were raised with the Big Ten as the most powerful conference in the country. They have only two teams in the top 15. Wisconsin is 7. Nebraska is 8. And they're on two different sides of the conference rankings. So we got to look forward to a World War III.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree. And, I think, unfortunately, even this past week, you know, Arkansas was number 14, and Alabama took it to them. Alabama was number 3. And again, we mentioned Boise State. You know, we're going to continue to talk about that, you know, the argument of who do they play. And, you know, there's some proponents that say they can't apologize for their schedule. There's other people that will say, you know, well, let's see who they do, how they do against the big boys. They certainly have done well in their bowl games the last couple years, so they certainly seem to be able to play with the big boys. Again, they have what it takes. We mentioned their four defensive turnovers yesterday. Again, number 6, Wisconsin, beat South Dakota. Now, the only thing, and I talked about this last year, it came up to sort of bite Penn State the last couple years of playing nobody, and I think, you know, Penn State kicked that up a little bit, but you look at Wisconsin's non-conference game. Well, you certainly look at South Dakota was not a big tune-up for playing Nebraska. You know, and then number 7, Oklahoma State. We talked about their thrilling win over Texas A&M. And again, you know, sort of early in the season, a number 7 and number 8 matchup. But again, as I mentioned, you know, you got to win and you got to come back and you got to put points on the board. And then finally, number 9, Nebraska. They didn't exactly have a big tune-up for Wisconsin, so maybe it'll sort of work in both teams' favors. Wisconsin played South Dakota, and Nebraska played Wyoming and beat them 38-14. And then finally, rounding out the top 10, at least last week, number 10, Oregon, who I think is a little better than number 10. You know, it's unfortunate that they lost to LSU early in the season, but they certainly can play with anybody, especially their running game. LaMichael James rushed for a school record 288 yards. He's one of my top performers of the week. And before we take our first break, the other top performer I got to mention is the quarterback from Hawaii, Bryant Moniz, threw for 424 yards and 7 touchdowns in a 56-14 win over UC Davis. And by the way, that was all in the first half. Well, we are at our first break of the evening. Again, you're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com. You can download our shows or any of the other fabulous shows they have throughout the week. Email, comments, or arguments, dj@artistfirst.com. We'll take a short break, and we will be right back.
Community would also have an effect on your own. Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business. Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
You put your keys between your knuckles. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. You lock the door behind you, maybe twice. Now you feel safe. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Welcome back to our second segment, everybody. What we're going to do for a little while is, things arise, as I mentioned earlier in the show, things arise each week. You kind of get a better picture of some things. Some things really get a little foggier and you're not sure. So this segment, we're going to take a look at things we know and things we don't know, things we've learned about some of the teams that we weren't sure of, maybe things that have popped in the landscape of college football. So Dad, what are some of the things that you for sure kind of rose and you sort of saw take place in your mind as week four came to a close?
Well, when you spoke of Boise State, it reminded me of something. LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Boise State, Oklahoma State, and Stanford all have one thing in common, outstanding coaches, especially Boise State. You and I have discussed this privately. We know that Boise State has a great coach. We know Bob Stoops well. We know he's good. Miles wins wherever he goes. Alabama's got a great coach. Oklahoma State and Stanford, they know how to win. So the thing that we must understand is that you win with people, but you win with good coaches, regardless of who you have playing on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anything else?
That's it.
Well, one of the things I want to take a look at some of the things that I thought we know after this week, and maybe you can add to this. I really thought a little higher coming into this week on Friday, a lot more than I do right now, these three teams. First of all, West Virginia. They get everybody excited. They have a close win in week three, get everybody excited. ESPN Game Day makes a visit, and they just played not up to standards, and I thought LSU really took it to them. I really, for a little bit they were in the game, but I really thought West Virginia was a little bit better and might even be called a pretender. The other team that I thought was a pretender that sort of seems to be now is Florida State. Everybody talked about how they would do and had them picked, and they were back, and they had the swagger back. But I really thought it was sort of a disappointment the last couple weeks the way they played. Clemson took it to them. And okay, you give them a little bit of a pass because it was sort of an exciting game and, the crowd was into it and all that. But then as you get into this past week, they had a chance sort of to step up, and I really didn't think they did. I was sort of disappointed in the way Florida State played. And then finally my other pretender was Miami of Florida. They stubbed their toe week one against Maryland, but again, you sort of get a pass. You got some guys suspended, and then they come and they have a solid performance at home against a sort of depleted Ohio State team, but they played well. But then here it goes, and they lose at home against Kansas State, who may be a better team than we think, but I just think at this point in the season for Miami of Florida to be 1-2 is inexcusable. I don't think that's right. And same with those other teams I mentioned. You have any comment on those?
No, not really, Rock. I can't wait till we get to what we don't know.
All right. Well, one of the things, the other things I think we look at that we know, as you mentioned, Oklahoma, Alabama, LSU, those are elite teams. I think we know that for sure. as you mentioned, they have good coaching. They have solid quarterback play. They can really run the ball, and they are proven to be an elite team. You know, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned earlier in the program that Alabama should be your number, is your number one, should be number one. Mine is Oklahoma, and in the polls, it's LSU. So obviously, those three teams are sort of, you know, the cream of the crop right now after 4 weeks, and we'll see. The other team I think that's for real, proved to me I was a little skeptical last week, got to admit that, was Clemson. You know, Clemson had that emotional win at home, stopping Auburn's win streak, you know, played very, very well, give them that credit. But then to come back, I think, you know, it's very easy for a team to have a letdown. We've seen that year after year. A team will have a big win, whether it's home or on the road, and the following week when people think they're for real, they stub their toe. But again, you know, Clemson can't rest. Clemson beats number 21 Auburn at home. They beat number 11 Florida State at home. Now they get to travel to this week's number 11, Virginia Tech. So they certainly can't rest, but I do think they are a number one team, or excuse me, a top-tier team, the way they look to be for real. And finally, one of the things you know, and I'll let you comment on this after I mention it, Toledo gets robbed. Now, again, we talk each week about the NCAA getting things right. Sometimes the NCAA needs to step up and get something right, and I think they stub their toe on this. Toledo, not only do they play at Ohio State, it goes down to the wire. They probably should have ended up winning that game. They don't. Then they have to go on the road 6 days later. They get ambushed at Boise State. Then they get to travel to Syracuse. Again, not a top team, but Syracuse is a team that's played well throughout the years. Late in the game, Syracuse scores a touchdown to go up three. They kick the extra point, which is clearly outside the right uprights, but for some unbelievable reason, the officials call it good. Nobody says anything. Nobody notices it. It was too late because the Toledo coaches, I guess, were yelling to their head coach to review it. And then Toledo actually drives down the field and kicks a game-tying field goal, which should have won the game, and then they get beat in overtime. Now, can you explain to me how, in this day and age, where it seems like you can't run five consecutive plays in a college football game without reviewing something, how they could let this happen?
Well,
do you have any idea?
The NCAA is inconsistent. I talked to my friend Pete Marbito today, and Pete says that the rules of the game are inconsistent. So what they have to do, first of all, is straighten out the rules of the game. And then some teams, Rock, as you know, through the years, are just snake-bitten. And Toledo seems to be one of them. I mean, nothing. The ball never bounces in their direction. They get the bad calls, and that's the name of the game, and unfortunately, they got robbed not only once this year, but twice.
Yeah, you're right. But I still think, you know, we're not talking about a high school game or a middle school game where these officials are 23, 24-year-old novices. We're talking about college football, and again, how hard is it to look straight up and in your mind say, did that ball go through the bar or did it go outside the bar? I just don't understand the way these officials position themselves, how you could miss that call, and unfortunately it comes at Toledo's expense. All right, now we're done with that. All right, Dad, you said you couldn't wait. Tell me what you still don't know, what you're not clear on as we look at week five and on in college football.
Well, you know, I'm going to look beyond the top 15. I'm going to look at teams from 16 to 25. Now, how good are they? And I've got a shocker here for you. Number 17, Texas, is 3-0. We'll know how good they are October 8th. They play Oklahoma. Number 19, which I told you before the season started, don't be surprised if they rise to the occasion. They're going to be a lot better. We'll know about that on October 15th when they're at Michigan State. Now, Georgia Tech, ranked 21, is 4-0. And my shocker is number 24, Illinois. They're 4-0. Next week they play Northwestern. Then they go to Indiana, and then they go back home to Ohio State. If the ball bounces their way, they could be 7-0. You know, we don't know how good Northwestern is. We have no idea who's going to show up and play for Ohio State. So Illinois, ranked 24 at this point in time, could actually go 7-0.
Yeah, I agree with you there. However, you know, they struggled against Western Michigan, and had that, you know, they were trailing at different times in the second half. But I agree with you. You know, we don't know how good Illinois is. And the other thing about Illinois that you know, we've discussed in the past 3 years on this show is, you know, you got the Ron Zook factor. Sometimes that guy seems like he's one of the best coaches in the country, and there's other times, and maybe it has to do with his staff, but it seems like they couldn't coach a middle school team. So you kind of wonder their preparation, as you mentioned, their schedule coming up and who they play. Anything else that you still don't know?
No, not really, but I certainly agree with you with the Coach Zook. As you know, we love him very much, but when I talked about football teams, you don't know who's going to show up. Well, when Illinois plays, you don't know which coach is going to show up. Sometimes he shows acts of brilliance, and other times he just gives games away. Bad decisions on occasion.
Yep, I agree with you there. You know, one of the things I think we still don't know is, you know, obviously I mentioned it, but you could say this any week, is, you know, who will be upset from week to week? You know, we're going to talk about some of the big games later on in the show, but really what we, you know, what we kind of take for granted is, you know, some of these teams, you know, we think are going to be consistent. Some of these teams are going to play up to their potential, but they're college kids, and as we mentioned, everything is sort of sudden death. Everything is sort of a playoff game, and you always sort of wonder who will be upset next week. We can talk about that, but you sort of wonder who's going to be the team we're going to be talking about that's sort of fallen out of our graces, sort of like USC did this week. The other thing I think we need to look at that we still don't know is, you know, what's going to happen to the Big 12? You know, we looked, you know, you and I discussed this last week, you know, about the Big 10 possibly standing pat with 12 teams and not doing anything. But what's going to happen to the Big 12? We already think, at least we think, that Missouri and Texas A&M are going to go to the SEC. All right, now if that happens, you know, then what do you do with the Big 12? Now we're also talking about possibly, and again, this is more than rumblings, is that the Pac-12 now, which has some newly added teams in Utah and Colorado, they're going to go to 16 teams. And they're possibly going to take Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Texas. So that would leave Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas. So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen to the Big 12? You think we're going to go to some super conferences? You think it's going to dissolve? You think it's going to try to grab some independence?
Well, those last four teams you mentioned have been so insignificant in winning games and winning conferences, they're just going to have to pick another conference, break that conference up, because there's nobody left. You can't play a conference without football teams. I'm not too fond of or too knowledgeable of all of the conference changes. So I don't have any practical, constructive criticism or comments on the conference changes. But they go where the money is, and being from the 50s and 60s in college football, I hate to see this happening, but you hit the nail on the head. You're going to have to go to some major conferences, break them up into two or three divisions, and then something that we've been preaching for a long, long time, go into the playoff system. see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you there. However, you know, you just wonder. It's unfortunate because, you know, you talk about growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, kind of cutting your teeth as a football fan in those decades. You know, you have some definite conference alignment. You know, when you talked about Texas and Oklahoma, you knew what conference. When you talked about Texas A&M, you knew what conference. When you talked about, you know, Colorado, you knew what conference. And now it just seems like the Big 12 is what people are going to draw from. And you still want to have some sort of regional ramifications. In other words, what sense is it going to make, for instance, to have, I'll make this up, Boise State in the Big Ten? You know, why would you want to do that where, you know, teams are traveling, you know, you can get to from the, you know, farthest point in the Big Ten, west and east, north and south, is a weekend that you can do logically as a fan, or now in the Big 12, or now in the Big East. So it seems to me like the Big 12 is going to be decimated. I'm wondering if out of those teams I mentioned, you know, something like an Iowa State maybe goes to the Big 10. You know, you never know. So you just wonder what's going to happen and how it's going to be. I certainly, you know, agree with you. If we'd have put someone in a time machine and taken them back and or awakened them, you know, put them to sleep in the 50s and awakened them now, they'd wonder what happened to college football. Finally, I think, and you can weigh in on this first, in your mind, is anybody distancing themselves either ahead or behind in the Heisman race?
Well, I haven't changed. My selection at the beginning of the year was Trent Richardson. I see no reason to change. My second choice, of course, would be Andrew Luck. Stanford, you know, is a great football team, and he's responsible for that. They're ranked number six. They're 3-0. Alabama is just so strong, and Trent Richardson is one of the reasons. He's still my first choice.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I think he's back in the conversation. I don't know if he was in it last week after not having too many yards, but, you know, you got to look at, as you mentioned, Luck, Kellen Moore, again, because of their schedule and because of how good they are. Let's face it, they're a solid offensive machine. He's going to put up big numbers. My kind of dark horse is still going to be Marcus Latimer from South Carolina. I think he's going to help them win some games. And then you can't count out Landry Jones. And I also think that, as you mentioned, Trent Richardson certainly back in it. But again, we talked about this. It's almost like it's become a quarterback award based on the last 10 to 15 years. So you wonder if Marcus Latimer and Trent Richardson have a chance, but those are certainly good picks on your part, and we'll see how that plays out. We're certainly going to change that as we progress through the year. Well, let's take one final break here before our home stretch. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to next week's big games. So a reminder, you're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com. When we come back, we'll look ahead to those big games and answer any emails that might be there. So please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Conference. but only one organization has earned the classification of being all-world. The United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you could make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Thank you. And for the last couple minutes, we're going to take a look at the big games in Week 5 in college football. You know, interestingly enough, Dad, when we were talking about some of the ways we wanted to approach this segment, you mentioned, hey, why don't you just pick a big game in each conference and we'll talk about that, which was a spectacular idea. And, you know, it's funny because all I did was look this week at the big games across the country, and we just so happen that it is almost every conference is represented. You know, we'll talk about an SEC game. We'll talk about a Big 12 game. We'll talk about an ACC game. We'll talk about a Big East game and a Big 10 game. And I didn't even do that on purpose. It's just funny that, you know, we do have some conference balance, and we do have sort of that evidence right there that each conference is represented well in the top 25, even though you mentioned, you know, that the SEC maybe be a little top-heavy. But I think it's funny because that sort of took place on its own with looking at the big games. We're going to take a look first at South Florida at Pittsburgh. What do you think?
Well, this past week, South Florida, that's 4-0, scored 52 points. I walked into an area where a Pitt-Notre Dame game was going on, and Pitt was winning, and they allowed Notre Dame to drive down the field with 8 completions in a row, then a 2-point passing conversion, which is absolutely ridiculous. That's 9 passes in a row to lose the game. Pitt lost to Notre Dame. South Florida scored 52 points. I think it's South Florida in a breeze.
You think? Well, I think it's going to be close, but I do think South Florida is going to win. You know, it's funny that you mention that, because if you turn the TV off and you didn't know what year it was, and then someone showed you highlights of Pitt, you'd have swore that this was sort of like a Dave Wannstedt team. You know, I love Coach Wannstedt, but it just seemed like his teams, one week they looked like they could beat anybody in the country, and then the next week it looked like they couldn't beat anybody in any conference. So I certainly think Pitt, you know, is back at home again. They've had some horribly, horribly disappointing losses. You know, they had that loss late in the game last week where they were up big against Iowa and let them come back, and then they beat themselves, so to speak, as you mentioned, on that drive against Notre Dame. So they could conceivably, with not much help at all or not much imagination, be 4-0. So I think they're going to play a little harder. South Florida, very, very well-coached team, up to number 16. I agree with you, South Florida wins, but I think it's going to be a little close. Next, we're going to take a look at Alabama and Florida. What do you think?
Alabama and Florida, SEC West versus the SEC East. Both teams are 4-0. Alabama beat Arkansas 38-14. And once again, how could you lose? The quarterback, A.J. McCarron, in his first SEC start, goes 15 of 20 for 200 yards. My Heisman pick, Trent Richardson, goes 120 yards and a 60-yard TD pass. Now, although Florida scored 48 points against Kentucky, I think Alabama beats them big because, I repeat, I think Alabama is the number one team in the country.
Well, you know, I think that it's going to be a little closer again. It seems to me that Florida is sort of a forgotten team. You know, we had the whole Tim Tebow four-year love fest with the NCAA, with the media, and rightfully so. He was a great kid, won the Heisman, is you know, sort of a media darling even now in the NFL. And then, of course, we have Urban Meyer with his leaving there. So they're sort of a forgotten team, but you know, you can't sleep on them. They have a ton of athletes. They still have recruited well in that part of the country. Again, I sort of think this, sort of like the South Florida Pitt game, I think it's going to be very, very close. I do think, as you mentioned, Trent Richardson's going to be the difference. I think he's going to run and run well. But again, you get into that SEC, everybody plays defense. Everybody has speed. And with a turnover or two, or if it's raining or something fluky happens, I certainly think Florida can win this game. I do think it's going to be close, but I agree with you. Alabama wins. Next, we're going to look at number 14, Texas A&M, plays against number 18, Arkansas. What do you think?
Well, it's amazing. You got a Big 12 game. Texas A&M lost to Oklahoma State by 1 point. Arkansas lost to Alabama. So Texas A&M allowed Oklahoma State to score 27 points in the second half. Now, that shouldn't happen, not when you have a lead. Now, Arkansas lost to Alabama, but I wouldn't feel bad about that. So will everybody else. So right. I have to go with the last week's performances by both teams. I have to go with Texas A&M.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I'm going to go with Arkansas. I think they're solid. You know, there again, I think people wrote them off when they lost Ryan Mallett to the NFL. They're playing very well. Again, you even mentioned that, you know, they should not be ashamed about their loss, you know, the only one they have. So I think that's going to be a dogfight. It's at a neutral location. I think Arkansas wins a close game, but you certainly could be right, and we'll see how that plays out with that great, great game early in the season in that conference, Texas A&M and Arkansas. Next, we're going to look at Clemson, Virginia Tech, number 13, against number 11, Clemson at Virginia Tech.
Well, here we go again with two great teams from the same conference. I wish that wouldn't happen so early in the year, but, you know, they make the schedules years in advance. Clemson, as we discussed, beat Florida State 35-30. They're 4-0. Virginia Tech is 4-0. They have Virginia Tech ranked higher than Clemson, and I didn't understand that, 11-13. I'm going to go with Clemson.
All right. Well as Clemson has played the last couple weeks, I think they're due for a letdown. You know, again, looking at the schedule, you know, Virginia Tech has pummeled Appalachian State, which isn't the Appalachian State that they were a couple years ago. They beat East Carolina close. They beat Arkansas State, and they beat Marshall. Getting Clemson at home certainly helps them. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Virginia Tech can certainly still provide some offensive firepower. But I do think, even though Clemson's due for a letdown, you know, every year we talk about it, Dad, some teams, as you mentioned before, like Toledo, are snake bit, and there are other teams that just seem to have the magic. And teams that get on that roll and they feel good about themselves, you know, you look at the ball would have bounced the right way. Clemson right now possibly could be 2-2, but they're not. You know, they were down to Auburn when they played that game a couple weeks ago at home. They came back and played well in that. You know, the Florida State game yesterday, if the ball bounces the right way, they certainly could lose. So they could be 2-2 right now. And you know what? In week two, they only beat Wofford, which is not even a BCS team, only by 8 points. So I think Clemson's just got a magical run going here, and I agree with you. I think they keep that up. And then we're going to look at the Big Ten game that everybody's been pointing towards, sort of starting off the Big Ten with a bang, and that's Nebraska traveling to Wisconsin.
Wow. World War III. I mean, Nebraska 4-0, Wisconsin 4-0. The two teams last week scored 97 points. Wisconsin beat South Dakota 59-10. Nebraska beat Wyoming 38-14. Wisconsin is at home. And my dear friend Bo Pelini, you know, welcome to the Big Ten. Two good coaches. I think Bo Pelini is the better coach. I think the winner of this game is going to be the Big Ten champion without a doubt. If you look both of their schedules, there's no reason why either one of them should lose a game after this week. And I believe that Wisconsin's going to beat Nebraska.
I agree with you, and I'll take it a step further. I think it's going to be a little more lopsided than people think. I think Wisconsin takes it to them. I think Nebraska has had stretches where they rely too much on Martinez, their quarterback. I think Wisconsin gets up for big games. I mean, they played last year against number one Ohio State, ran the kickoff back for a touchdown. They get that crowd going. The game's at 8 o'clock. That crowd's going to have all day to get juiced up. I think Wisconsin comes out and absolutely takes it to Nebraska. I think it's going to be an ambush, much similar to the ambush they laid on Ohio State last year. So I think Wisconsin pulls away early, takes control early with their running game. I think they stop Martinez, and Nebraska can't answer. I do think Nebraska will make a little bit of a run and maybe make it close, but I think Wisconsin wins handily. And finally, we got another minute and a half. What do you think about Michigan State traveling to Ohio State, also in the Big Ten?
Michigan State is one of the teams that has disappointed me this year. And Ohio State, we don't know who's going to show up. Do you know if Braxton Miller has improved considerably over the week after that starting experience last week? I think they could win. However, Mark D'Antonio is an outstanding defensive coordinator. He probably has his team fired up. He knows that Ohio State is green. We've talked, you and I personally, about the Ohio State roster. They have about, of the 22 starters, they have about three seniors. They have a multitude of freshmen and sophomores playing. I think the game is a toss-up. I think since Ohio State is at home and Michigan State has somewhat of a disappointing season, I think that Ohio State will win. But it will be very close, and I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way.
I agree with you. I think Ohio State wins because they're at home. I was disappointed in Michigan State early in the year with the way they played against Youngstown State, just more emotionally than physically. I think Ohio State has sort of righted the ship with Braxton Miller. Well, that brings a close to week four of Rocco Fiumi football as well as college football. We appreciate everybody listening. Again, if you have any comments throughout the week, send them to dj@artistfirst.com. I want to thank my dad for his great insight and being my right-hand man and fan. So join us again. We thank you. Have a great week of college football.